This podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
I just have one simple question for you today. Why is it that there's always money for everything else except to take care of the people who've done the most for this country? I think about people like my brothers Lee and Mike who suffer and struggle while there's not enough money to go around, but somehow there's money they hand out to people that aren't even citizens here. How is that? What does it tell you about the nation's priorities? And where do you think it's going to take us? I'm going to give you the answers to all that and more. Stay tuned. These headlines don't stop. Every day you turn around, it's another billion, another 100 million just thrown away like gasoline on a fire, really, the way this government's spending money. And I mean that, literally. Listen to this. America's $125 million guaranteed income giveaway. Why don't they start with guaranteed income for every veteran? Wouldn't that be the logical place to start? Wharton professor sees $34 trillion debt triggering a 2025 meltdown. We've all said and heard that before about these meltdowns that haven't come. We just buy our way out of it. Just another stimulus erupts, some different variety. Miami pitches, this is the big one. This is the, out of all these financial stories I'm going to tell you right now, this is the one that I would say to you is literally and completely like throwing gasoline on the fire. Why have we seen such a rise in home prices, really? Well, there's a lot of things you could point to, but basically supply and demand, it becomes the basic issue. And the government largely controls the supply of housing in this country. You understand that? You say, well, no, they don't. This isn't like China. Really? Well, I beg to differ. But how, go take a look at what percentage of the mortgages are government-backed in this country. I think it's 90-plus percent. Don't quote me on that. It's a lot. So, for example, when they raise interest rates, what are they doing? Reducing the demand, right? In an effort to bring prices down. Didn't work for some crazy reason. Why? Because some of the other tools that they have gotten so out of control. Zoning, planning, all these different things, regulatory constraints, environmental constraints weigh on developers in a big way. And the government is able to control the supply, whether they do it deliberately or by accident, it's happening, okay? It's not the developers. If I were to look at our problems today through the lens of a developer, I would say, go redevelop Cincinnati. And I've said this before. Not just Cincinnati or just by way of example. And there's plenty of other cities that are ripe. They say, oh, we're running out of land. Go down to Philadelphia, here where I live, I'm a few miles outside of the city. And you go look around down there, West Philly, North Philly, you'll see massive areas that have infrastructure in place that is very capable of dealing with high-density housing, mixed use, and all of that. Wow. Why isn't it being done? Why isn't it being done down there? Maybe it will. Let me say about the Miami's $2.5 billion bond. Why is this the biggest one? Well, if they're going to dump $2.5 billion into the housing market in Miami and construction overnight, presumably construction, I don't know, are they going to just make acquisitions and what? The government's going to take control of the stock? Let me see here if it actually says that. I want to find out. Because if it is the cost of development, because land is so limited. So I'll make this point. I thought that if they were going to buy, I didn't think so. They want to build new. They're not going to develop or buy existing stock, which I think is good in that sense. But when I say it's the biggest story, it's like throwing gasoline on the fire. It's only going to cause the prices to go up. You know, this surge of $2.5 billion into the local real estate construction economy into an already overly saturated market. Why would you want to solve the housing crisis in Miami? Why not develop and expand somewhere else, like Cincinnati. Or we want to be in Miami. Not everybody can be in Miami at one time. Maybe I'm funny to look at that. But look, whatever the developers want to do, you know, you want to go a million stories, you want to go a million units per acre, the higher the density. I understand the game of the developer and what it takes to make money, and it's hard. But this deal with the Miami, they're gonna dump a $2.5 billion bond on the market to spur construction. I don't think it's a good idea. And by the way, you know where else it's gonna cause a big problem? With the already massive insurance problem that they have down there. I don't get it. You know what? Wouldn't you want to solve that first? Bring down the cost of housing. I mean, it's baked in down there to all housing, the cost of the insurance. So how's this furniture store owner related to all this? Well, and you're going to see more of this, I believe. More and more. Where are these migrants going? Where are they going? They're beginning to like move around like rats. And I don't mean to disparage the people themselves. Our government has created the environment for the situation to occur. And it's going to create a variety of problems. But let me just relate it back to the cost of the housing for a second and the money, okay? We're giving out guaranteed income, paying for all this housing for migrants, but that's not the whole story. Then you've got people like this furniture store, and they're going to have guys, you know, sleeping in there. You bring up a busload of young men. Hey, we're going to sleep in this warehouse. You got a bathroom. It's cool. They can get cleaned up. They got a little running water, a toilet, a refrigerator, they get by, you know? They go out, do some work, go have a couple beers, meet a couple young ladies. It's all they really care about. Problem is everything else that comes with it. But just sticking with the financial end a second. Good people, bad people, it doesn't really matter. But the way this is being done, the way it's being handled, is destructive on both sides. The poor people coming across are basically living what I call to be modern-day indentured servitude. That they don't have the right to vote. Or say, oh, we're going to give them the right to vote. Then make them citizens and go through a legal process and fix it. Democrats won't do it. The Republicans won't do it. I've offered a simple solution. But let me stay on point. I get on my soapbox. I can't help myself because it's so easy to fix. It's self-created because there's people that are making a lot of money off the illegal immigrants. Entire industries in some cases. And those industries support politicians. Some of those politicians were born out of those industries naturally. That's kind of how it works. But back to the furniture store thing a second. You have people living in warehouses and whatnot. What is that doing to the quality of the community? Certainly not raising it, I can assure you of that. And think about the safety risks. There's just a multitude of problems. But ultimately, these people are going to want to have some kind of life, right? They make it to retirement. They're going to retire in a warehouse. And you're creating all this untold demand on housing and other resources. Fair share of taxes not being paid. It's a deep, deep problem. And our government, my point is, seems to only be doing things that are very effectively making the problems worse. You know, I started to say, why has housing gotten so expensive? They want to say, well, it's the developers, it's the speculators, right? This is what they told us for the 2006 recession. And I don't have any data to debunk this, but they blame it on the investors. You see, you know, one third of the homes being bought were being bought by investors. And you say, oh, the dirty investor, how dare they make money? We're just trying to get a place to live. Well, those investors, those dirty investors, they actually do quite a service to the community, if you can believe that. I'll give you an example. Here in the community that I live in, it was largely developed back in the 80s. I know this for a fact because my father built a lot of it, if you can imagine that. Well, now here we are 40 years later, and guess what? These homes have shown a little bit of weather from all that time, and they need some updating. But if you own a home, you know, if your home would kind of come and do for like a makeover, it's hard to do while you're living there. It's really hard to do. This is where the investors offer a real value. They're coming in, and you can almost see it from a mile away, doing a great job. They come in, they strip the place down, take care of any issues properly, give it a, you know, cosmetic upgrade, appliances, new latest countertops and flooring and all that. And somebody moving in is effectively getting a, factory certified used home or something like that. I don't know what you call it. It depends on who the investors were. But I'm going to tell you something. These investors that do this kind of thing, besides the fact you ask me, I think they do a great service. I can prove it to you because those homes always sell very quickly. All right. But the second thing I'm going to tell you, those dirty investors that the government's the blame on the housing prices being so high, you know how much work they do to make the money that they do? And it's not as much as you think. And it's not as easy as you think. I promise you that. It's hard as hell, really. So why are these prices so out of control? This financial chaos. It's not financial chaos. You know, how high do the prices have to go where people simply can't afford housing? I mean, I'm even looking out in the outlier areas. Why is the price so high? How much money did the government pump into the housing market vis-a-vis cheap loans? And you know what RFK Jr. has as a solution? First-time homebuyers would essentially get a very low interest rate that would be covered by a bond, similar to what Miami is saying. Do I support that kind of thing? I could be talked into it. Because I do support first-time homebuyers, and one of the things I benefited from personally is a VA mortgage, which has been phenomenal. And I did put money down on it, but it was a low down payment that I put down on my very first home. And those flexible terms did allow me to buy that home, and I was happy to do it and set the stage for basically the home that we own today. And so it is a good opportunity, I think. But I still think, for the most part, that when government gets involved and throwing money at something, the result is higher prices, extraordinary. Healthcare, education, college. Well, we keep throwing money at it, the price keeps going up. Well, I got an idea. Why don't we back off on spending a little bit and just see if the price goes down? I don't know. Look, I'm not a Wharton guy. The Wharton guy's talking about triggering a 2025 meltdown. I'm not saying that. Matter of fact, I would say to you, I don't know that it's possible for two reasons. They can't let it melt down at this point, I don't think. But there's so much private money out there. There's so much cash out there right now. There's like there's a whole parallel economy, and that not even factoring in the whole digital as well. I have said, and I think this is what scares the bejesus out of government more than anything. I really do. And that's the digital currency, why they want to put a stop to it. If you have and I think people's eyes are being open. How hard is it to create currency? Not really very hard at all, especially in the digital age. And you don't even need to be in the digital age, really. And now people are saying, you know, we don't need government to create our money anymore. And, you know, this whole liberal democracy takes a funny little turn there, doesn't it? Interesting process, I guess. We'll see what the future holds. I know I get frustrated because I see that they want to give money away to illegal immigrants. I'm not happy that they're here. What are you going to do? You say, we're not going to give them any money and we're not going to help them. That's going to create a different set of problems in itself. But they were like committing Harry Carey, letting these people in here like this. Meanwhile, you got good men who stood up and paid it forward 100%, said, I will, I shall, and they did. They went and they served their country, like my brothers Lee, my brother Mike. I'm going to have my brother Mike on the radio show as a VA whistleblower. It's going to be phenomenal. Be doing that interview soon. It's maddening to me, really, that men of this caliber, that principles of that, make a commitment and deliver on it and can't get access to benefits that they need. And they struggle so hard as a result. You know, when I watch this story with my brother, sometimes you just, I don't even want to repeat it. I'll let them say it in the interviews and then I'll report on it afterwards, that some of the details of how they've suffered. But yet we just keep throwing money $2.5 billion for housing in Miami is going to bring down the price. Let me know how that works out. But don't worry, they'll say that it helped. You know, it reduced the impact for sure. If we hadn't have done this, it would have been really bad. Yeah, okay. Tell me about it. Tell me just how bad it can get. There's a couple other things I want to talk about here today to keep this moving. Financial chaos, alternative currency, gold and silver. Keep all those things in mind. Do as you may. Sua sponte, as they say, on your own accord. Zelensky can't get troops. University of Penn, this scientist found to have faked studies on newborn pigs. It's an unbelievable story right here in Philadelphia. Viral video showing, I don't know if it was very viral or not, LGBTQ director and husband arrested. What a crew these two are. I work for the mayor. I'll bet you do. And the cop didn't really seem too overly, like, I'm not really impressed by that you work for the mayor. And the cop's like, yeah. But, you know, it's another one of those videos where it's like, we saw none of what leads. All you see is when the cop goes ballistic, right? They got straight whitey. I'm not even sure if it was a white guy. It doesn't matter. Because if he was being butchish. He was being a little too testosterone laden. They're going to sick him on him. Who knows what happened? I don't believe there was a follow-up story on it. That's for sure. If you think I'm kidding about blaming the investors for the housing crisis, this is the Exxon CEO claiming that the vehicle emissions are your fault, that people don't want to pay for cleaner fuel. You know, I was thinking about this a little bit, and it's another one of those dastardly little things where industry has kind of worked really hard to pit us against ourselves, really. I don't know about the cleaner fuel part. And I was thinking about this, you know, the cheap fuel has been vital to this country getting the progress that we have. Do you realize that? Moving lumber, timber products, building entire industries. Besides the moving people around, and it was done very inexpensively, which people benefited from that. I mean, the freedom to travel. And what does that mean? The economic freedom to be able to afford to do it was part of that. This is Milton Friedman. Did I say that right? Economics, the economic freedom. And Obama, I mean, what do you think the Democrats have been buying? You know, what do you need freedom of speech? Let's just say what we want you to say and we'll give you money. Oh. I mean, look, you think I'm kidding about that? Look how many people are doing that. Some people make a big money doing it. Maybe I needed to get in it on that racket. I keep fighting with this free speech thing. Maybe I should just go with the money end of it. Yeah, so they're going to blame you. But anyway, the cheap fuel, what did it give? The American automobile, which is iconic around the world, this idea that you could hop in your car and go anywhere you want. They want to take it away and take that freedom away. It's dirty. It's bad for the environment. I don't know. But then the cheap fuel allowed bigger vehicles, which spurred a great automotive industry, trucks, things like that. Ironically enough, the way our DOT is set up and the safety laws, you can't even get smaller vehicles. I've been complaining about this. So I don't know about cheaper fuel, but don't blame. You know what I'm saying? I had a Dodge Dakota back in the day. I would like to get one again. I would love to have a little Dodge Dakota to have here sitting in the driveway when we need to run something around. You know, do a little project or something like that. We got a little pickup truck to do it. You can't get that kind of stuff anymore. They have these mid-sized trucks that are not much better fuel economy than the full size and not that much cheaper. I don't understand the draw. I say, well, you could go electric. Now, we've already had that conversation. I'm not anti-electric vehicle at all. I love it. I have an electric bike, which I love very much. I tested a Ford Lightning. Incredible. The most incredible driving experience I've ever had in a vehicle, really. But the range, horrible. And God bless you if you needed heat. You really can't run the heat in it. You just literally cannot heat off of those batteries. And I really question the efficiency of the whole thing. I really do. Anyway. I got way off point. The point is that the oil companies are like, we're not taking the fall for this. The American people, everybody's going to pay. Don't worry. Don't worry. The new Green Deal is going to cost you a fortune. You think, oh, the new Green Deal, we're going to get checks. Oh, yeah, you're going to get something in the mail, all right. Not quite the check you were thinking, I'll tell you that. This story is really fascinating. Oldest lady turns 117 years old. I was talking to a couple of people about this, people that are older than me. And I said, oh, God, I wouldn't want to go that long. And it kind of made me think for myself a little bit there, would I want to live to be 117 years old? And I guess I'd have to, I do, I would like to live to be 117. I guess I'll say it here right now, maybe the grace of God, maybe me saying it'll make it a possibility to happen. I'm not really in a position to say for sure, but all I can do is try, right? And we'll see what happens with it. I don't know, about 117. My great-grandparents lived to be, I believe one lived to be 103 or something like that. So don't tell me it isn't in the realm of possibilities, but I couldn't say. But would you want to do it if you could? 117, man, I'm not, I haven't even lived half my life. I say to myself, man, the best is yet to come. Could you imagine? But then I think about some other things, the aches and pains. Now I'm thinking, how could I be? I'd be like, the Tin Man. You'd be having to like, I'd be bathing in Bengay just to get out of bed in the morning, get me warmed up. 117 years old. God bless her, right? Mini organs grown from human stem cells for the first time. I don't know what that's all about. Sounds a little creepy on one front, but here's what I do know. In talking to a couple of people, apparently this stem cell stuff has just been absolutely incredible at fixing things like shoulders even. I think Tony Robbins had something done with that. I have no understanding or information about it at all, but man, where it's healing people, improving people's quality of life, you have to say, I think that sounds like a good thing, right? I saw this story. People are sharing things that they no longer buy because they're too expensive, like homes, cars, college educations, even simple vacations. Oh, that's not what's said here. Just been my own observation. I went down to the local store the other day. Every once in a while, I like to treat myself to a little breakfast sandwich. Just the kind of guy, I guess. I'm a breakfast guy, and I do like to go out and get breakfast. I eat a lot of bread, right? So I'm one of those people, and I try to keep the simple carbs as much out of my diet as I can. But every once in a while, I get a little hankering for some carbs, and I know it's time to get a little bread, and usually the way I do it was with a breakfast sandwich. So I go trotting down there, and my wife says she wants one. And we both must have been hungry because we got this nice size sandwich. I'm exaggerating there, but they were, you know, your 10-inch or 12-inch hoagie roll breakfast sandwich. I got bacon and eggs, and she got egg and cheese. I even got extra bacon on it, if you need to know. And anyway, I got that, and I got four big monsters. And I know I take a lot of food. It's one of my guilty pleasures. And we're going to ring it up. $37. I say to myself, $37 for breakfast and a couple of drinks. That hurts, man. And you know what hurt even worse? We have bacon and eggs at home to have the bread. And I didn't need the bread. And I didn't need to give up the bread. I say that's just ridiculous to think that that costs that kind of money to me. So that's something that I wouldn't do. I, you know, as far as what people are giving up, I hear people making real sacrifices right now. I went out a couple of weeks ago and had lunch with a good buddy of mine. And we got to this pizza place, talk about some carbs. It was a carb day for me. So, yeah, I'm going to go out and get a little pizza. I usually get meatballs, and I'll have one slice of pizza. It's kind of my thing. That's just kind of how I like to eat for the most part. I can hang with the best of them when I want to, but I try at least to get the good times in as well, where I keep it on the lean side, if you know what I mean. And it's I'd say that just because the idea of getting older. Look, I don't know how old I'm going to live. You want to know the God's honest truth? Everybody does, right? I don't know, but I'll say this. I just want to be able to go as strong as I can, as long as I can. It's my quality of life. That's why I keep my life, my weight down as best I can. I'm telling you, left to my own accord, I'd wolf down two pizzas, no problem. Some of the volumes of things I can eat is amazing. But anyway, we go get pizza, and I get my meatballs, and I have a slice. And a guy who was waiting on the table, we got to talking to him a little bit. And we're both veterans, and my buddy likes to put that out there. And talking to him about the radio show and whatnot. It's going really well. Anyway, he talks about how badly he needs some money. And I said, man, he needs like $10,000 to get a car. And I think to myself, man, there's like a whole other world of people out there right now that, you know, really struggling. But, you know, some of that is always the case, too. And I say that, you know, I hear these reports about different things. And you'd be all young people, it's tough for them. Well, it's always been tough. However, question is, how does it compare at least to, you know, when I was trying to buy a house? And I've done those comparisons, and it is insane. I try to look at like the cost of the house to like income levels, and how does that all balance out? And it doesn't at all. These kids today are carrying an incredible burden. We, through inflation, have passed this burden, kicked the can down the road, and the chickens are coming home to roost. That's a fact. And so many things, I think, are like that. So many things like that, that these costs have been inflated through the printing of money, bad policies, bad spending, debts taken on that have to be paid, the interest on it has to be paid. And it's crazy what we've done to future generations. And we continue to do it every day. Why would we stop? And when the problem comes up, we say, well, you know what? We should throw a little more money at it. Well, it's the only path that it can go, really. The problem is that it's ultimately going to reach a tipping point where there's a catastrophic failure. Seems to me the current path we're on is a race to see how stinking fast we can get there. I don't know. People see sacrifice now. Now, I want to make another point, though, about this, as far as the income, the house cost basis. I never really did that on a spreading time scale. I wish somebody could. I'm sure it wouldn't be that hard to get the data. Why can't AI? I can't wait till the day comes that AI, and go, AI, give me a sliding scale of the home prices to income. It probably wouldn't let it think, because that's like a conservative way of thinking. They get block it. But that's racist. We won't allow you to. What do you mean it's racist? Did everybody be able to afford a home? Yep, racist. Racist. The housing, the homeless, the what's the word for it now? The unhoused. Every new professional comes in, they got to write a book and create a new term. Do you ever notice that? That's like the thing. That's what I need to do. I need to create a new term. What's the new term? Call sign crazy. I think that might work. Call sign crazy. That's going to be the new podcast. Call sign crazy. We'll see what we can do with it. What do you think? Where was I? I forget what the heck I was even talking about. Oh, every new loony comes in, they got to create a new term. So now it's the unhoused. You shouldn't say homeless. It's hurtful. It makes people feel, it makes them feel upset. They're sleeping outside. Let's focus. we need to be a little nicer to them is all. Yeah, like get them an affordable place to live. We're going to argue about what we're going to call them. This is where we're at now. So if every new professional comes in, they could create a new term, the unhoused. And how do we solve this problem of housing that's too expensive? We put more money in the pot, create more demand. I don't know. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. Government has a different way of looking at things. So what do you do? What do you do? It's got to be limited. And I've been saying this, and if Trump doesn't do it, I think I'll lose all hope. But the size of our government needs to be cut back. I don't know if we need to go through quite what Argentina did, but it's just beyond extreme. I mean, countries all over the world are complaining about the United States government meddling in this garbage. It's unreal, really. And I don't know if you caught it yesterday. I said the story about the guy who got arrested at the border for smuggling refrigerants, not people. You can human traffic all you want. They'll give you a bus ride, send you wherever you want to go. Make sure you have everything you need. But you bring a dirty refrigerant in there, how dare you? It's an existential threat. Meanwhile, we're killing ourselves. Killing ourselves financially. We're going to reach the point of system failure, and everybody can feel it. And it seems, like I said, to be a race to see how fast we can get there. So let me close this out with this little important piece of information, since I just took you down the path of doomsday very conveniently there. Oh, wait till you hear what I have to sell you. Don't worry, I have anything to sell you. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. I'm not going to say any names with this, but it's been my observation that there's a lot of selling of survival products going on. And to keep this very simple, I would say to you, it's also been my observation that a high proportion of it is garbaggio. Garbaggio, you know what I'm saying? Junk, overpriced junk. People have been asking me for years, what do I recommend in regard to these things? And I've developed a bit of an exchange of ideas because I don't have the lock on, you know, what's easy, convenient, readily available. And some of the things that I do have need to be checked a little further, such as our own food supply. I said to my wife, I said, how do you know it's not buckets of sand? This whole business is a racket, man. Like, hey, you want to buy some 25-year food? Don't open and accept an emergency, okay? And 20 years later, you're like, where's that guy we buy? Remember that guy that sold us the sand in here. Yeah, good luck finding the guy. Somebody ought to open and actually cook this stuff up and check it and make sure. But I'm pretty comfortable in the source that we got ours from. Can I say for sure? No, I certainly can't. But with a little more testing, we obviously have a certain level of confidence in the products that we're using. Now, I see one thing in particular, this so-called generator going around, this solar-powered generator. And I'm going to tell you something. If you think that you're going to survive off of something like that, trust me when I tell you, you're going to run into big, big problems, big problems. There's no way that that's going to work out. And I'll tell you where I'm going with all this. Tell you where I'm going real quick. I'll close this out. This is a great story real quick. This whole thing on my end here is blowing up. We've introduced the video here. I'm producing video as I speak this. Maybe you're watching, but chances are you're listening like you normally have. I think the quality of the video is really pleased with what we're able to produce and create here. And the big piece of this for me, it's been years in the making, really. The bigger piece of this was the ability to attract an audience and to do it at a reasonable cost and without selling my soul. And without getting into the details, I'm happy to tell you that we did. We've done that. We cracked the code, okay? In a small way. I'm not saying we're going viral. I'm not making any claims about any of that. I'm just here to tell you that for the first time since Biden got in office, God's honest truth, our audience is growing again. And it's phenomenal. I feel so good about it. I got a lot more to come. As I was thinking about all that, question came up, how can I serve you better? And one of the ways to do that is to talk about survival preparation, common sense preparation. I don't have a bunker, but I think it's a good thing to do. And I thought, you know, that may be a good weekly podcast or something like that. Could do more. I could incorporate interviews. I cracked the code on that. I'll leave you with this little story. You know, I'm always learning and growing and trying to improve my craft. And for 6+ years now, I've been doing this incredible monologue. Many of you have been with me the whole time, and I've loved it every step of the way. But one thing I didn't do a lot of was interviews. I get into this Project Chaos project, and I'm like, this is a problem because I'm doing interviews. First two interviews, I really struggled. Go out last week and get interviewed by this army dude on a station out in Buffalo, and boom, cracked the code. That experience changed everything for me. God willing, there's a lot more to come. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. Sure hope to see you there. In the meantime, making a great day.